Hey guys, it's one of your favorite horror aunts, Miss B, and welcome back to the second half of the Malignant episode. If you have not listened to the first half of this episode, please rewind back. We have the previous episode already uploaded on your favorite digital streaming platform. And if you're continuing along with us, please stay and listen to the rest of the story review and our thoughts at the end of this episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
He's
still chasing his man. He's still chasing his man. And Gabriel kicks out some bricks to try to escape. And then he crawls into the bricks, into the wall, still backwards. So he's doing it like with his body face up. He like crawled. Do you remember that spider walk from The Exorcist? Yes. That's how he climbed through these bricks, through that hole in the bricks, like that spider walk. I was done with him. We not chasing you, sir. I'm good. You gotta wait. I'm gonna tell the people you gotta wait. Wait, we not doing this. We not doing this at all. You spider walked your ass into a hidden cavern of bricks. I'm good. You gotta wait. I'm going back out the way that I came. I'm sorry I disturbed your night, and I'm gonna go write up this report right quick and let them know that you eluded me, because we not doing this. But you know, it's Superman, Captain Rogers, Kakoa Shaw. And so he continues to chase this man into this cavern of a crazy, really spooky looking Seattle underground or whatever. And in the meantime, this goddamn man is just running backwards and leaping and crawling all through this whole space and all kind of stuff. And I'm like, sir, we don't chase people like this, but he's still going. He's still trying to shoot at the man.
Detective Shaw don't know the meaning of work-life balance.
No, he don't. He really don't. Like, I guess he's single. He ain't got no wife or no babies or nothing to be, like, worried about. You know, I don't want to risk my life just in case I can't get home to my family. He like, hell no. I'm going to find this dude and see where he at. And so, like, he goes into this, like, deep, deep, deep into the Seattle underground. Like, everything has, like, millions and millions of layers of cobwebs and stuff. It's just old crap down there. You don't want to be down there, but he finds himself down there. He eventually gets into a struggle with Gabriel, and then Gabriel like takes off into the ceiling with like this agility and super strength and stuff. And then that's the end of that fight scene, because Gabriel like escapes, and I'm just like, sir, no.
So the next scene, they're at Madison's house, right? It's Kakoa.
They're at Madison's house. It's Kakoa, it's Regina, Madison, and Sydney. And Kakoa tells her that
because he brings the picture of grown Madison, like that his associate gave him, right? With the picture of the young girl, right?
Yes. And he tells her he thinks she was adopted. He thinks her name was Emily May. And that, you know, something might have happened to her or whatever. And she's like,
but he got all this from Dr. Weaver's records.
Yes. And she says, you know, I don't remember anything before, you know, I was adopted by, you know, Sydney's parents, but that is what Gabriel calls me, Emily May. And so Kakoa is like, well, you know, we have a hypnotherapist who can help people, you know, recover repressed memories, trauma, you know, sexual abuse, all that kind of stuff. And so then in the next scene, we see that they've brung in the hypnotherapist, and the hypnotherapist has her go back to before she was adopted by Sydney's parents. And that's when shit gets crazy.
Yeah, she starts pretty much seizing and having convulsions because it becomes too much, right?
Yes. She's like, you know, I don't really remember any of it. And then the hypnotherapist is like, you know, tell us why you're at the hospital. And she's like, I don't remember. I'm not sure why I'm at the hospital. But she's feeling better now. And then she starts talking about her parents, you know, the parents that she's gotten. And they brought her to the new house and she loves the new house, but Gabriel followed them back to the house. And then she talks about all of the bad stuff that Gabriel wanted her to do. They talk about some memories that she had where she messed up a birthday cake. And, you know, she's trying to tell her parents that it was Gabriel that did it and not me. And they basically like, you know, go to bed because we don't believe you. You're the only one in this damn house. We don't know who the hell Gabriel is. Stop lying. So Gabriel calls her on this really cute little fancy, you know, little light up phone that she's got. And Gabriel is like, you know, let's do a surprise.
And this is why she's still a child, y'all.
Yeah, we're talking about the childhood memory. Yeah, because this is while she's in the house, but and they're pregnant with Sydney. And so like Gabriel is on the phone with her, like, yeah, let's do a surprise for, you know, your mom. And Madison is like, you know, what kind of surprise? Like a good surprise. And I guess Gabriel told her, yeah, let's make it a good surprise, you know. And so she's like, she goes and gets a knife. And so Gabriel is whispering into her like, you know, yeah, let's have a nice slice of cake for mom. And then you see the whole room dissolve because it looks like she's in the kitchen getting ready to cut the cake. But when the room dissolves, she's actually in the room with her parents and she's standing over they're in the bedroom sleep. And she's standing over the mom and the mom's stomach with this knife. And you can tell she looks like she's in trance because the mom wakes up and sees her standing there. And she's like, Madison, what the hell are you doing? And so Madison like wakes up like, what the fuck you doing? Oh, I'm in the wrong place. And so then she like starts screaming and stuff.
And drops the knife. I didn't even know I was here. So yes. Okay. So that happens. And then she kind of comes back to her memory. Like now, before I continue, this might be a place where we have to edit because I just want to make sure I'm not jumping the gun.
Okay.
Isn't this, they're in the house, and ain't this the part where, oh, that lady falls through the attic and falls through the goddamn ceiling, through that
table? Yeah, after they have the whole, like, she starts having the convulsions and screaming and hollering about Gabriel, and they wake up, that's when the lady wakes up and frees herself and she falls into the goddamn house.
Yeah, so we now discovered that this woman in the attic, this attic space that she's been in, it's the attic space that's actually Madison's house. So we didn't know what this space was. We could just tell us the attic. Mm-hmm. But she breaks free from these restraints. And I guess the floor up there is crickety, crunchety, made out of graham crackers, falls through the goddamn floor, and the floor is the ceiling to Madison's fucking living room, and the lady falls through the fucking coffee table. Madison turns around and she is just screaming because she's just like, they scared. It's like all of them leaving the place, and it's like, what the fuck? A whole
girl
jump fell through my ceiling.
Let me tell you, I was really on some like, what the fuck is happening right now? Because I was like, I just knew these two things didn't exist in the same time. And then to have that bitch come flying out the goddamn attic onto the living room floor, my mind just went poof. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like,
and Madison just left out this scream. It kind of gets muffled. Like we can just and then
I was just like, what the fuck? What timeline are we in? Did we break something in the space-time continuum? How did she get here? Did she fall through some type of black hole? What is happening? Like, my brain was just like, what the fuck is happening? After that, we end up at the hospital. Because they, the next thing we see, Madison.
They put her in the back of the cop car.
She got arrested.
I mean, because all these crazy occurrences are happening. You got dead people, that's kind of connected to Madison or what Madison's saying. Now you got some bitch that done fell through the ceiling in her house. And it's like, nah. Regina was like, nah, arrest this bitch. This bitch,
yeah, this bitch is doing every goddamn thing. This bitch is killing everybody. Arrest this bitch.
And told her sister, if you come your ass in this house, we gonna arrest your ass too as an accomplice.
Yes, because now the house is a crime scene. They got to go investigate what the fuck going on. So they're all in there. Because, you know, Sydney's like, she couldn't have done this. And Regina's like, back the fuck up. I'll arrest you too. So they go in there. And Winnie go in there with Kakoa and Regina. And while they go up in the attic, Winnie fucking finds the knife structure that was actually part of the base of Dr. Weaver's trophy. So remember, they was looking for that. So they found it. So it's like, she ain't looking good. This, you got a bitch that done fell through your roof. You got the murder weapon in your house. Everybody dying around you.
Yeah.
It don't look good.
All these people connected to you is dying. We putting your ass in a goddamn cop car. You the person who doing all this.
Yeah. So next scene, it's Regina, Detective Regina, Detective Shaw, Kakoa, and Madison, and they're like in an interrogation room, and pretty much Regina's pretty much like, look, bitch, look, this is what's going on. Everything's connected to you. It's just like, it's not looking good. And, you know, Madison's like, you got to believe me. And she was like, Kakoa, you seen what was happening. You know I'm not lying. Tell the truth. And Kakoa ain't saying much because I think even though he does remember and is present, it's just like, and he's present and aware, it's just like too much. And he's probably like, I don't even know how to explain this to my colleague. It's some crazy shit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Regina's like, we get it. You know, you was fucked up in the head as a kid. You went to the hospital and they fixed you up right. And maybe it worked for a little bit, but like you fucked up again and you probably mad at them for not keeping you straight. So you kind of went on a revenge thing. And Madison's like, no, I don't. And, cause she knows what this Gabriel figure, she knows about him because she sees him, but she still is like, I don't really know what this is. And she says, doesn't she say something like, so we got to do something for your imaginary friend, like I got to chase your imaginary friend, something like that, because Regina says some slick shit in this movie that's kind of funny.
She basically was like giving her a hard goddamn time and basically telling her that she was lying, and that she killed all of those people because they fucked her up. And Madison was like, no, I'm telling the fucking truth. And that's when like all of the lights and shit blew out in the room. And then when we
see the lights flicker, we know some shit's gonna go on. So Madison's phone is there and an unknown number calls a phone. And so Madison picks up the call, puts it on speakerphone, and it's fucking Gabriel.
No. He called Kakoa. Phone.
Oh, I thought it was Madison's phone. My bad.
No, he called Kakoa's phone because Kakoa was like, what the hell? And Madison was just sitting there. Madison was like, he wants to talk to you. And Regina was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And so he calls, Gabriel calls Kakoa from, you know, that unknown phone number, and basically tells him, you know, the questions, like whatchamacallit puts him on speaker. Kakoa puts him on speaker and says, you know, this is Detective Shaw. You know, why are you doing all of this stuff? Why are you, you know, planting this evidence on, you know, on Madison and making it seem like she did all this and, you know, all this kind of stuff or whatever. And so, you know, Regina records the phone conversation. And so, you know, Kakoa is like, well, you know, we found your stuff and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, Gabriel was like, yeah, I want my shit back. Give me my goddamn trench coat, bitches. I got people to kill. And Kakoa,
and I want my knife.
And I want my knife and shit back. And so Kakoa was like, you know, were you trying to incriminate her? And Gabriel was like, you know, this bitch didn't even know I was in her goddamn house with, you know, this old ass lady with my chop shop, my workshop. She ain't no shit. You know, so what this got to do with anything? You know, she ain't know nothing.
So Regina and them are confused because at first they're thinking somebody's working with Madison, but now it's just kind of like, I think everybody in the room like, what the fuck going on except for Gabriel? It's crazy. So I forget exactly how that scene ends, but the next
Yeah, so he was like, you know, are you a figment of her imagination? Like, who are you? And he was like, you know, ask her what she used to call me. And, you know, then they asked her and she was like, you know, the devil.
The devil.
Then that's how that scene ended.
Yeah, that was crazy. So the next scene, we see Sydney. She's kind of in the background trying to tie up loose ends because her sister is in jail. So Sydney goes to the mom and the mom gives Sydney Maddie's like adoption decree. Mm-hmm. And I guess on that adoption decree, it shows, and maybe other information, it shows where Madison, the hospital was. So Sydney is, I guess, dry. She gets the information to the hospital and she's calling and she's trying to get records of it. And the person on the phone is pretty much like, look, it's showing it was at this hospital. I forgot the name of the hospital again. What was it called? I wrote it down somewhere.
Simeon Research Hospital.
And, you know, the lady, Sydney's like asking for more information. The girl's pretty much like, girl, that was before my time. I really don't know what's going on at the hospital. So like the nosy people in the fucking movies usually do, Sydney's like, I'm going to go check it out because why? And then while she's driving on this nice drive to do her investigation, we see this fucking asylum, old ass looking sanitarium. Crazy hospital just kind of in the back, and even Sydney's like, oh my god, because again this don't look like, you know, the town hospital. No. And so she goes in there and this hospital is being closed down. It's got cobwebs. It looks crazy. And I'm at this point, I'm like, Sydney, what the fuck you doing?
Like, it looks like a haunted hospital.
Yes,
that's what it looks like. It looks like ghosts and spirits have set up shop. All of the ghosts and spirits of all of the former patients have set up shop.
You know, and you know what I thought of
and,
when I
and why
that?
We in here. Mm-hmm.
What was it? House on a Haunted Hill?
Yeah.
It made me think of that because remember that house used to be it used to be a hospital for the criminally insane. And that mm-hmm. doctor was doing all them experiments on people and yes. their spirits was trapped in there and the spirit of the crazy doctor. I was like, oh my gosh, she going in that same place. So it's like you see scenes. So during here, she's looking for, she sees a plaque on the wall that shows a records room.
Yeah, and in the basement.
Yes. So during this scene, it seems that cut back and forth. So we see now, she sees with the records, so we're thinking she's going to go find the records so she can go get more information on Madison. And then we see a scene where Madison gets thrown in jail. They put her ass in jail. And it goes back and forth. It cuts back to Sydney looking at these records, these videotapes, and just she's seeing documentation of her sister recording. And I think this is where, so we see Maddie get put in jail and Maddie's kind of mm-hmm. like freaked out because you can tell Maddie don't be going to jail and she looks different. These women are looking at her like, who the fuck is this bitch? They just look like
they look like her. They looking at her like, ooh, we fresh meat, you know, yes. like in a yes. holding goddamn cell. Like, can y'all at least get to the real hospital? You know, like, I mean, yes. the real jail. Like, y'all got to be acting like this right now in a holding cell.
Yes. So she grabs the tapes and Sydney and she goes back to the mother's house and they look at the tapes together. And we discover in this tape, we see this one girl and the name is like Serena May. And I was mm-hmm. confused for a second because I was like, I thought old girl's name was Emily May.
Yeah.
And then we discovered that this Serena May person is actually Emily/ Madison's birth mother. And you can mm-hmm. tell she's a teenager.
She was 15.
Yeah, and she says something against the lines of like, you know, my parents say this is an abomination. So you can tell she came from one of those turbo Christian families. And so she got pregnant, gave the baby up for adoption. The baby is Emily. And then Emily's adoptive mom and Sydney's real mom, she's freaked out because she's pretty much like, they told me she died in childbirth. Mm-hmm. Had I yeah. known that, like, I would have never done this. So again, these scenes pan back from them looking at these videos, getting accounts of what's happening, and then it pans back in jail. So then you got this black chick with this afro, and then this other chick with this fucking mullet, like, accosting Madison in jail, like talking shit to her, mm-hmm. pushing her around, just being a bully. It's just some bullshit. Like they really just come in for her. And then the shit gets physical. Then it pans back to them watching the videos. So in the videos, we're seeing, and we're talking about Sydney and their mom. So the next thing we're seeing, what's her name? Dr. Weaver.
Dr. Weaver.
Yeah, she's kind of making the counts of what's going on. She's like talking about Emily going through like psychosis and all kinds of shit. Just really talking about her diagnosis and whatever. And then we see this creepy ass scene because you see Emily sitting on the hospital bed, kind of with her legs hanging off, and you can tell people are examining her from the front. And then it kind of pans to the side and somebody is behind her examining her. And then we're at the back of Emily's head and we see this fucking creature that is attached to the back of her head. You see some hands. Was it some legs or was it just some hands? It was a head and some hands.
I think it was just a head and some hands. Yeah, but I think we skipped the scene.
Well, it kind of goes back and forth because she then, when we see this, it's like the shock for us, like, what the fuck? And then it pans back to the video. And that's when Dr. Weaver, she starts to talk about what a teratoma is. So when
But Emily's didn't she talk about the mama before that?
Yeah, I didn't really.
Like that's how we find out that the lady in the hospital bed that fell through the ceiling was their mama.
Okay. I was going to discuss that, but I didn't realize I had skipped the scene or whatever. I was just really talking. Okay.
I mean, I was just out because I'm watching it as we're talking about it. And so I was like, wait, we didn't even talk about this scene.
Okay. No, I was going to
If you're going to bring it up, then that's fine. We could just edit all of this out.
I mean, we can go ahead and bring it in. Just, I guess when we're talking, that can be edited out. So like, I guess while they're doing a discovery, it is discovered that the woman, because I didn't know at this point in the movie, we don't know who the hell fell out the ceiling.
And, right.
and like it comes to, we later on discover the woman in the ceiling, because it's panning to the person is now in the hospital. We discovered that old woman who was in the ceiling is Serena May, is Emily's birth mom. Mm-hmm. So they're going back to the videos and then, because we see this grotesque creature that's coming out of the back of Emily's head. Is it here that I need to discuss the scene where she's being observed and then we see the head?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and take that on. Go ahead and take that on because we're going to have to edit. It's going to be a lot of editing that's going to have to happen, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna need to fast forward because I don't have that written down. Remember, I dozed off and went to sleep.
No. I have it written down, so I'll go ahead. Okay, so we discover that the woman in the hospital bed is Serena May. It's Emily/Madison's real birth mother. And so again, these scenes are panning back to present day in jail and present day Emily, her adopted mom, Serena's birth mom, looking at the video with Sydney. I keep saying Serena, sorry. So now there's a scene where we're looking at Emily as a child, and she's mm-hmm. being observed by these doctors and specialists on this hospital bed. So we see one specialist in front of her, and then it kind of pans to the side of her, and then we see a doctor behind her, and behind her, we're now seeing the back view of her head, and in the back view of her head, there's a creature that's in the back of her skull. It's a whole other face, but it's a disfigured face and hands coming out, and it's so fucking weird because it's so unexpected. This girl got a whole creature extended out of the back of her skull.
Yeah. And so then, like the creature has like this really ugly face and these little bitty ass T-Rex arms and like a whole little bitty like chest. And it's just creepy as shit.
And grotesque. Imagine having that kind of shit on the back of your head. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
Girl, circus shit. Anyway, I'm going to hell. I am going to hell. So,
oh
anyway,
my goodness.
So anyway, it then pans back to the tape where Dr. Weaver is talking, and she's pretty much like, so this is a teratoma. And I don't know if a lot of y'all are familiar with teratomas, but teratoma is pretty much like basically in utero, the cells split off. So you have, it's supposed to be a twin, but one of the twins are severely underdeveloped. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when doctors find teratomas, you see this mask of like skin, flesh, hair, nails, teeth. It's like a mass of keratin, really. It's pretty much like a twin that didn't really develop, didn't make it, but it's remnants of something that would have developed.
Yeah.
But this is a teratoma to the 56th power.
Yeah, where like a strongly extreme type of teratoma. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it didn't, I guess it implanted, it attached, but it didn't do what a teratoma is supposed to do, which is supposed to just kind of fall by the wayside and let the dominant twin flourish and be the real baby. Mm-hmm. And the way she's describing it is this teratoma is almost parasitic. And so it's been growing with Emily throughout her childhood. And they share the same brain neural functions. So like they can kind of help each other think. So what this one's thinking, this one can feel it and vice versa. And same with visions. What this one can see as well or whatever. They're sharing the same source. So now as we're seeing this, and then we start to, it pans back into the jail scene. And this is where the two bullies in the jail start physically accosting her. And then they start stomping her out. And I'm just like, why y'all doing this shit? Like, it is just crazy. Like, so it's going back and forth these scenes. So we're starting to have revelations. And if you're smart, you can piece things together. Like, oh shit. So when, and it seems like while this is happening, while she's getting stomped out, she starts going to these convulsions. She starts going, who is it? Madison. She goes into these convulsions. She's shaking, and we can start to see her body starts to contort because it looks like whatever they did, it triggered Gabriel to come out. And it was at this point in the movie where I realized Gabriel comes out when trauma happens. Because you remember when the husband knocked old girl upside the head, he awakened something.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were beating her ass, it awakened him, even though he had been out there. It just, I think when shit comes out, that's when he comes out. And because during the recording, Dr. Weaver had mentioned something like Gabriel, because he kind of shares things with her, he's almost like parasitic, where he's kind of feeding off of her life source. So it was then that we then recognized or realized that these miscarriages that she's been having, it's not because she can't have a baby, it's Gabriel.
Because of Gabriel, yeah.
Yeah, he's been feeding off of the life source of this baby's to fuel him, which is fucked up.
Yeah, he's an asshole and an ugly one at that, a gruesome, ugly asshole.
Yes. Yes. So I think it was in this video, because I told you again, it's panning back and forth from the jail scene to the video, to the video. And in this video, Dr. Weaver, she's pretty much saying like at this point, Gabriel's just becoming unstable and violent. And the best way we can do this is to cut him out. We got to cut him out. And there's a strong percentage that Emily could die because they do share pretty much a brain. So we're going to take out as much mass as we can. And then whatever we can't, we're just going to push it back up into the skull. We're going to close that bitch up, sew it up, and should be done. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, so it, in essence, this whole time, Emily has had a piece of this teratoma twin in her head. And mm-hmm. because it was such an extreme surgery, I think that was a big, and I'm thinking a surgery like that is so traumatic and so extreme and you're doing a lot to your head. I think that is the reason why Emily cannot remember anything before age 8, correct?
Yeah. She can't remember anything before the adoption.
Yes. Yeah. And this is another reason, like, because like we were saying in the movie, we see these arms or whatever, like that's why Madison looks like a regular person, because I guess these appendages and this extended face and everything, that's been cut out. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we see this image of Gabriel, that's why it looks like the way it does. So next we're panning back to the jail scene. So while they was beating her ass, she started to seize, and they're all like, what the fuck? She having a seizure? And then while she's having these seizures, oh, this is when it gets good. Her body starts to crick and contort. So like we see the front parts of Madison, and while she's cricking and contorting, her hands are turning backwards, and even her feet and ankles kind of break, and it starts to contort and turn backwards, and then she starts to scream because some shit's going on, and she takes her hands and goes to the back of her head and splits her skull open with the back of her hands and pulls her skull apart, and then that's when we see this face of Gabriel, and all the bitches in jail is shook, because why wouldn't you be? And these bitches are locked in jail, so they can't get out. So Gabriel with his turned around body and Madison's face in the front and his face in the back, but using her body, and it's so fucking strange, just these movements. Like, you have to see it. The first person that gets it is the black bitch.
It's the black bitch.
He goes over and just with the hands, the turned back hands, tears out a piece of her neck.
Yeah.
And she's just bleeding profusely and she's dead. And like the next, it's just violent. Like, he's just killing bitches after bitches. Like, I'm talking about, and it's violent kills. He takes one girl, he fucking punches her through her whole abdomen, just straight through. He stomps this one girl in her head, just squishes it with the foot. He breaks necks. I mean, it's just violence. Like, it's just, it's dead bitches all over the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. He literally littered that entire holding cell with all those bitches that was in there.
Yeah.
And then he used the main bully's body, because the cop came over and was like trying to shoot at Gabriel. Gabriel used her body as a shield, and the cop was shooting at the body. And then he grabbed the cop's body and got the keys and killed the cop as well. So now he done got out. And I was like, God damn, this scene was great.
It was one of the most bomb violent scenes I've seen in a while.
Yeah. And I love that while they were watching the tapes, that they told us that Gabriel can basically manipulate what he wants Madison to see. So, you know, when she thinks she's at home, you know, in the comfort of her home watching these murders happen, they're actually out, and he's tricking her to think that she's just living her life, like just doing a regular thing. And so when he's doing all his bad shit, that's when all of the like the scenes and stuff like dissolve around her, and then she's like basically almost a part of what's going on, but not quite. So I thought that was pretty damn awesome,
because in essence she was at all the murder scenes. Like, she was doing the killing, but she wasn't doing the killing. So it was just really insane. So at this point, I think the next scene, doesn't Sydney she calls Kokoa and tells him everything, right?
Yeah, she tells him everything, that, you know, Gabriel's been dormant all this time, but when Derek smashed Madison's head, it woke Gabriel up. And so that it really hasn't been Sydney doing the murders, it's been Gabriel. He also told him that, you know, Madison's birth mama is alive. That was the person that fell out of the ceiling. And so they're like, we need to get to the hospital because she's the one that knows everything and blah, blah, blah. And so after she tells him that, we cut back to the police station. And the Winnie girl, she's like logging the evidence from Madison's house, you know, Gabriel's, you know, outfit, his murder weapon, all this kind of stuff. And then you hear in the background that Gabriel is fucking shit up in that hospital. Like, it sounds like they have an active shooter, but he ain't shooting nobody. He just killing them. It's the police officers that's trying to shoot him, but Gabriel fucking all kind of shit up. So Kokoa and Regina, I guess they hear what's going on. They go back to the police station. In the meantime, Gabriel comes to the evidence room because he like, I need my trench coat.
Yeah, I need my outfit and my weapon.
Right. I need my outfit. I need my weapon. Can y'all give me my shit, please? You know. And so Winnie ain't crazy. Winnie went hid herself in the goddamn girl, shelves
she
and shit.
Got one page and like covered herself and hid herself.
Yeah.
Which was smart.
She was like, Gabriel about to get my ass. Like, I'm hiding in these goddamn stacks. I can't do this shit. And so Gabriel in there, he go get his outfit. He like, you know, getting all fresh and clean and shit. And then he get his murder weapon. Yeah, it's crazy. I felt bad for her. I was like, please don't find Winnie.
She was so close in his line of sight, but he was so fixated on, let me get my shit. Yeah. And get out here and, you know, get out here to the killing. Let me do what I do well.
I gotta do what I do. I done got my fit on. Y'all ain't ready for this shit. You know.
Yes.
Cocoa and Regina get back to the police station and they see it is basically littered with dead cop bodies. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on in this place? And then the rest of the cops are in like the main area. All the lights get blown out and girl Gabriel just start going crazy, like just stabbing cops and flipping and doing all kind of shit backwards, and the shit is freaking amazing, y'all. I'm gonna let a queer describe this scene because this scene is just freaking amazing.
This was like some Marvel comic book type shit. Like, it was a beautiful choreographed fight. Like, he is fucking shit up. And then it's so weird because, like Tuh had described before, and had what we discovered this movie is Madison's body, but Gabriel, he's from the back because he's at the back of his skull. So it's like he's fighting backwards, but that's his frontwards. So you see this person with such agility and swiftness, fucking everybody up, but it's backwards. It is the weirdest looking shit I've ever seen. But
it's weird, but it's awesome. Like, it's very like reminiscent of The Matrix. Mm-hmm. And like it was just, I loved it. This was just a really well shot scene.
Yes. And Regina, she gets kind of caught up in the crossfire because she tries to fight and fuck with him. And this is where I talk about work-life balance. There are just some things that's just not where my job just don't mean that much to me. And I'm surprised at Regina's black ass because I would have been like, no. I would have been out.
Right.
She went up there and she got a little piece of that gold knife sword looking thing and got slashed on her stomach, but he didn't kill her. Like, he went away. And then we see this awesome shot where Gabriel fucking steps up on this table and he steps up on the table and they kind of do it kind of in like a slower motion. So you can see his whole body and like just his limbs. And it's just this weird presence. And then in the back is a window and you see in it's an orange light. It almost looks like a sunset, but it's nighttime. So we know it's a street light, but it's a really beautiful shot of you seeing just this creature. And now everybody knows, well, at least Cocoa and especially Regina, because Cocoa kind of knew before, but I think it's like he was in shock, but it's reaffirmed, like, Madison wasn't lying.
Right.
And we now know. So then Gabriel busts out this window and I guess he's going to go take off his business. And then Regina, she on the floor bleeding and shit. And she says one of those lines I think is funny. Like, she gets one of the walkie talkies off the body of one of the dead cops. And she was like, we need backup. Send the National fucking Guard.
Yes.
And she was dead.
Yeah, I like when I think the Winnie came out there and like I think one of them called the police. And Cocoa was like, why are we calling the police? Like, we're the police. Right. And I was like, shit, yeah, call the goddamn police for this goddamn crazy ass monster. Shit. Call what other precinct? Y'all got the number to the other precinct? Because y'all need some help.
Right. So the next thing we see Sydney in the hospital. Because we now know that Madison/Emily's birth mama's in the hospital. So Sydney goes, she wants to run to the room to make sure everything's okay with this woman. Mm-hmm. And the room is, we can tell that the room is being patrolled by security. And, you know, she runs there. She was like, I got to go in there. And the security is pretty much like, nah, you can't go in there. It's like an older gentleman. And then we start to see the lights flicker. And we all know what that means when the lights flicker. Gabriel is on the premises. Yep. And so the guy, he starts showing that he's in pain and he touches his chest where his heart is. And this is when we discover dude has like a pacemaker or something, because mm-hmm. Gabriel can manipulate electronic things or mm-hmm. devices, electricity. And of course, that is an electronic device. So he's like, you know, kind of going in convulsions. He's hurt. And then she runs, because he's pretty much man down. She runs into the hospital room where Serena May is, and Serena May's got like, she's in bad shape. She bruised up because, I mean, she fell through a goddamn ceiling. She's older. She's got a little mask on to get oxygen. And then while whatchamacallit is trying to close the door, fucking, I don't know, man, Gabriel be moving quick, because mm-hmm. as she tried to close that door, Gabriel bust that door open.
He sure did. There. He bust that door open. He was like, I saved your ass for last. That's what I was trying to do. And then, like, you can see Sydney, like, Madison is definitely, like, upset. She's getting upset because he's going after Sydney. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, I should have killed you before you was born and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, Serena takes her oxygen off and she's like, you know, I need to apologize. I'm sorry. Like, this shouldn't have this happened because of me. You know, you were my son and I should have took care of you and all this kind of stuff. And Gabriel was like, fuck you, bitch. I'm about to kill you anyway. Like,
what? Yes. So while they're having a scene, I guess whatchamacallit is trying to stop him. So he then throws like one of the hospital beds, because it's one of those rooms, I guess, that has two hospital beds, throws it fucking at Sydney, which kind of pins her against the wall.
First, when Gabriel's looking at the mama, he looks like he's going to walk over there, but Kakoa shows up. And mm-hmm. she throws the knife, the beautiful knife thing, at Kakoa, and it stabs him in the shoulder. And then mm-hmm. Sydney takes the gun from Kakoa and tries to shoot Gabriel, and that's when Gabriel tossed that goddamn hospital bed at her ass.
And pinned her against the wall.
Yes. Okay. And I was like, leave this man alone. Why y'all keep trying to confront? Y'all see what he can do. Leave him alone. Stop. And so that's when, you know, as Gabriel has her pinned, that's when Sydney tries to talk to Madison and telling him, you know, Gabriel's the reason why she kept having all the miscarriages, because he kept killing her fetuses and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, snap out of it, help us, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. You can see that she's really struggling. She's like
trying to come out of it.
She's trying to fight. Yes.
Yeah. And so at the next scene, is that where we see the figure of Gabriel go over and smother Serena, right?
Yes.
He's smothering her, trying to kill her.
Yeah. Yeah. He says goodbye, sis, and then he shoots the sister in the head. And then Serena starts crying, and then he goes over to Serena. And
you mean Madison starts crying?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No. Serena starts crying, and then he walks over to Serena, and that's when he takes and smothers her in the bed.
Okay. Yeah. So he pretty much does that, and while that's happening, Madison, I guess she's thinking, because like it's crazy. Like she's kind of in like a subconscious different place, mm-hmm. while Gabriel is using her body to physically do these acts. But we then discover they're kind of like in this subconscious space where now Madison is like, you see Madison and Gabriel in this black space. And she's pretty much like, yeah, all this stuff you've been doing to me, I figured out how to kind of tap into my consciousness and do this to you. Mm-hmm. So right now you think this is happening, but it's not. Like, I want my body back. I want my memories back. Like, I want to be in control of me. you ain't supposed to be here. Nigga, you's a teratoma. Like, you not real.
You a teratoma, nigga.
You not real. I'm the HBIC in here.
It's almost like reminiscent of Nightmare on Elm Street at the end.
When
Nancy and Freddie.
Yes,
yes. That's what that reminded me of. Yeah.
So this is the second episode where we've gone back to Nightmare on Elm Street. It'd be so many things connected.
Yeah.
Pretty much when she's like, I take back all my power. I want all my friends back. Yeah. You know, Madison's like, I want my body back.
My body back, my mind back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want all my people back. Like, fuck you, whatever. And then, you know, Gabriel's like, nah, I'll be back. Like, we're part of each other. And she's like, nah, I know how to do this, and I'm pretty much gonna be watching out for you. So she locks him in this metaphorical jail. So we see Gabriel in this jail, and he's just pretty much like, no, like, you know, trying to struggle to get out. And then we see Madison walk out this door, and then she comes to. And so now we are in the real scene. And mm-hmm. So the scene that we seen where Gabriel had attacked.
Shot the sister and smothered the Serena. Mother.
We see that that was all an image. So that was actually Madison flipping the script and using Gabriel. Because they share the same visual and mental neural connection, so to speak. So
yeah, they share the same brain and spinal cord. So she was able to manipulate him. Just like, you know, he would manipulate her, made him think that he had actually killed those people when he didn't. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah,
it was. And then we see his head as she's taking back her power. We see his head thing go back in her skull, and I guess it just kind of fused back together. I don't know if the bitch gonna need stitches. She gonna need super stitches because she gonna need the most superest of stitches. The bitch gonna have to wear a helmet, like, so no accidents happen to reactivate that nigga. It's just gonna be, so we see, and that pretty much, you know, like, she hugs Sydney and everybody is all well. You know, people are bruised up because a lot's happened, and that's where the movie ends.
Yeah.
Ciao.
Girl, I know a lot of people probably did not like this movie, but I really, really enjoyed this film.
Everybody just made it sound like it was just abysmal. And again, you and I was talking beforehand, and, like, you know, some people, they probably want the cheap scare, or sometimes some movies, you have to think too much. And, you know, unfortunately, everybody isn't as cerebral. And this isn't, to me, it wasn't even one of those super deep cerebral things where you have to, like, really sit and think. Like, they pretty much told you everything, but again, some people just don't like to think at all. They just want to be spoon-fed all of the everything. So
yeah, but they want to be told everything. They want to know ahead of time what's happening. They're like, I'm like, yeah, this was a good film. It definitely explained everything, and I thought it was actually pretty good. It has some pretty weird shit going on. This is not really a film that we have seen done.
I agree. I can't really compare it to anything.
Right. So I thought it was a really, really good film. I thought James Wan did a really good job with the direction. I thought his idea of a monster and the way that he, like, you know, or the person who wrote the screenplay, or, you know, like, him and his other two people made the story, like, I thought it was pretty unique. And to have that person, you know, be backwards like this, like, I never ever would have guessed that the reason why this person was doing what they were doing was because of a damn tumor of cells that, you know, were like it was worse than a conjoined twin or a parasitic twin, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't even, you know, like, I never would have thought, like, I didn't even think about that. So I just thought the movie was really good. And contortionist stuff always creeps me out, regardless of whether it's done in a safe place or in a horror film. Contortionist just creeped me out.
This was additionally really good for me. Yeah, and speaking of contortionists, we have to give a shout out to the contortionist who was the body of Gabriel. Her name, and I hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, it's Marina Mazeppa. She was actually a contestant on season 14 of America's Got Talent. She was eliminated, but you know, sometimes when one door closes, another one opens.
Yeah.
This one opened and she's on the big screen. So congrats to that young lady. Because yes, I was like, ma'am. When I first seen this, I was just like, oh my God, is this puppeteering or CGI? And this was a whole ass person.
There was a whole damn person. It was not no damn CGI. It was none of that shit. That was a whole person. All that shit when we was like, God damn, like he looked backwards. That was literally her. That was her contorting and doing all kind of shit. So definitely props to her. I went on her Instagram page. Y'all, go look on that page. She just like modeling and doing all kind of contortionist stuff and kicks and my, like, yeah. So yeah, props to her. I thought she was pretty awesome. Yeah.
And I also wanted to give props to Zoe Bell. Zoe Bell is a well-known stunt woman. And if you are a fan of horror and part of the horror sphere, you will know Zoe Bell from Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse, Death Proof. Mm-hmm. She was in the Death Proof movie. She was the one who was the stunt woman when Kurt Russell was assaulting them. She was one of the bitches that whooped his ass, but she was on the car just being a badass. So she was the chick at the mullet. She was the mullet bully in jail. So shout out to her. But overall, yes, I did think it was a dope ass movie. And again, when I seen what this movie, what it was all about, I will say this. I definitely did not gain, or you couldn't tell me it would have been any of this from the trailer. Because at the trailer, I was like, oh, she's just being haunted by some spirit. I thought this was going to be one of them spirit ass movies. And those are kind of hit or miss. So mm-hmm. this was something totally different. So I definitely appreciate it. So here at the Don't Go In There Girl podcast, Be In Touch, we have a grading system from 1 to 5 stars, 5 being the best. Mm-hmm. Tut, what would you rate this?
You know, I'm kind of torn. Like when we discussed earlier, I basically went into this film not knowing very much about it, except that it was directed by James Wan. So on that strength alone, I would have gone to see it at regular price. But I also feel like because I didn't know that much about it, I probably would have caught it at a discount. So I'm kind of stuck between those two.
I would have thought this was a nightmare.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna say it's number 3. Yeah. Yeah. It's 3 stars.
Tier number 1 is don't go see this bullshit. It's trash.
Yeah.
2 is rental, Redbox. I guess streaming. Mm-hmm. 3 is catch it at a matinee. 4 is you
see it at full price.
Full mm-hmm. price, you won't feel bad. Spend the check on it. 5 is not only go see it at full price, but you'll probably go see it opening weekend. You'll sneak mm-hmm. all your snacks. You just really want to go.
Yeah, you want that good experience.
Yeah, and if you're like me, you're sneaking snacks in anytime, so it doesn't even matter. Because that's what a queer, excuse me, Miss B does. That's what Miss B does. But yes, I enjoyed the movie. I highly recommend you all go see it.
Stop going into dark places. Stop. Because ain't nothing nice up in those places for you. Every time you see a dark space and a weird sound, stop going to investigate. That's the word. I'm tired of telling y'all this every goddamn podcast. Stop investigating. Mind your damn business. You'll be safe. Stop.
And that's a word. I wholeheartedly agree. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. It's the Don't Go In There Girl podcast. Yes. And our next episode is going to be one for the books. It's going to be a current film. We're not going to tell you, but I think you can pretty much figure it out. All right. Well, thank you all so much. Y'all have a great one and stay tuned. Good night.
All right. We'll see y'all later. Bye.
Bye.